Finding strength for my journey, I knelt at the cross where Jesus once died for me. And I asked, is this the place where hope abides? And this he said to me. I sought reassurance and I went to the tomb, to the place where his body once lay. And I cried, Lord, help me see, is there hope here for me? And hope forevermore, and hope forevermore.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Again, if you can't preach after that, there's no preach in you, you know? Praise the Lord for, and it's good to see the young people using their gifts and talents for the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the Lord is working among our teenagers, and for the life of me with Brother Bob, and so I don't know why. I'm kidding with you, but Bob's doing a great job, he and his dear wife Lindsay. The Lord's blessing their ministry, and we praise the Lord for it. And it's good to see these teenage boys up here on this front row. That lights my fire right there, you know. By the way, I told them I'd give them $20 if they'd set up, and I'm kidding with you. The Lord's been working, and we give him glory for it. I want to make this announcement to you. I hope you know this, but I want you to know that anything going on in your life that you need help with, I want to know about it. I don't care if it's a splinter in your hand that's hurting you. I want to know about it. So what I want to do, I want to give you my cell phone number, okay? And just in case you don't have this, I want you to write it down. By the way, don't abuse this, please. Don't call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Just say, hey, just checking on you. How's things going, you know? But I do want to give you my personal cell phone number because I want you to be able to get through to me. I appreciate our staff here. God bless them. And a church this size, one man cannot do it by himself. And I know that. But I want you to know that my wife and I want to know when things are going on in your life. And I would rather hear something five times as not hear it once. You understand what I'm saying? So you make sure I know. And I understand that some people are thinking, I'm sure this is the case, I don't want to bother him. Can I say something to you? The pastor's a love gift to the flock. I count it a privilege to be able to be there for you. Amen. No doubt about it. Write this number down, 483-5207. It's the wrong number, but write it down anyway. 483-5207. And I encourage you as a church, as a staff, as a church, as a deacon board, when you hear things about somebody, in other words, they're sick, they're in the hospital, something happened with them, always make sure I know about it, okay? Okay, please do that because I want to be informed of all of it. We love you and we want to take care of you, okay? I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 66. We had a great revival last week. No doubt about it. God met with us in a wonderful way. And what I want to do tonight is I want to draw our attention back to that revival. I just felt the Lord really leading in this direction. And you'll understand as we travel through this. Psalm 66, verse 16. Psalm 66, verse 16. The Word of God says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." Again, come unto me, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I speak to you tonight on this subject, revival in review. Revival in review. Let's pray together and we'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and thank you for how folks are using their gifts and talents to serve you as their Savior. And I pray that you forgive my sin. If there's anything in my life that's hindering you from having full reign and free course, I pray, God, that you'll remove it. I pray for this service that you're able to be a crowning service as we look back towards the revival that's already taking place. Help us not to forget those things, but to put them in our lives and go forward. May the will of God be done in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, we had one of America's premier evangelistic team with us, and Dr. Ron Comfort and Brother Larry Brubaker. There's no doubt that the Lord passed by our way as the week of meetings went on. Now, praise His high and holy name for visiting with us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. He's truly been good to all of His children, no doubt about it. I'm just going to mention these things tonight. We're going to be turning to a lot of Scripture. I may be staying a little bit stationary. Of course, I say that and I'll lie to you here in just a minute, but I may be behind the pulpit a lot more than usual. If I'm not, forgive me. I'm telling you in advance, I'm probably going to lie to you about that. But anyway, Sunday school, he preached in my class on the doctrine of confession. Sunday morning, he preached a message entitled, "Why Trust Jesus Christ." Sunday evening, he preached on "Let's Build Revival Gates." Monday evening, he preached on Paul's three impelling motivations. Tuesday evening, he preached on history's greatest revival. Wednesday evening, he preached on imitators. Thursday evening, he preached on history's greatest imitator. And Friday evening, he preached on the nature of God. Now, what I'm going to do tonight is I simply want to put this revival in review and bring out some practical thoughts about things in this meeting that was emphasized and how the Lord spoke to me. And I want you to ask the Lord to speak to you. Now, many of you are here throughout the week. God bless you. But if you weren't, you're going to hear some of these things tonight that was preached last week. And I encourage you that these things need to be emphasized again in our heart and life. As we look back towards the revival, and a lot of times I don't encourage you to look back much, but we're looking back to that great meeting. And I want to bring out 11 things. Now relax. Relax. Because all I'm doing is bringing these things out, kind of giving a summary statement, giving some scripture and going on. Number one, the first thing I want you to be reminded of as we look at revival in review, number one, we're reminded that God's Word is powerful. God's Word is powerful. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 4 with me, please. Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Bible says that His Word is powerful. Now let me say this, this past week of revival, we saw the Word of God opened, and we saw it preached faithfully. Now as the Word of God was preached, it pierced our hearts, and decisions were made. You know what that tells us? It just reminds us that there's power in the blessed Word of God. You know, it's interesting tonight that the same place took place every... I'm talking about the same thing took place every single service. The Word of God was open every service, and it was rightly divided in order to give us instructions for life. In other words, there was not preaching one night, singing another night, a drama the next night. No, it was all centered around the precious Word of God. And let me say something to you. Let's keep it that way around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God deliver us from ever trying to manipulate, if you will, people to come into this church. Let me say this to you, folks. If God doesn't build the church, it's going to crumble anyway.
And I'm telling you that the way to build a church is not entertainment. It's not man's philosophy. Now, you can have different methods. You can go door to door, bus routes, John Sevier Center. Those are methods. But folks, listen to me, please. The Word of God is to be the primary focal point in the local church. It's to be the primary focal point in your life, too. And I'm telling you that the first thing we're reminded of about Revival and Review is that this blessed book is a powerful book, and it's still changing lives. Number two tonight, just Revival and Review, we notice number two that prayer is important. Prayer is important. The Bible says in James 5:16 that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, the Lord met with us during the revival meetings. He met with us this morning. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. It is important to be reminded about how much prayer went into that meeting. We were praying before the meeting. We were praying during the meeting. And by God's grace, we're going to pray even after the meeting. And the Lord heard prayer, and he answered prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. One of the greatest privileges that a child of God has is to talk to God directly. This is one reason why I've launched these pre-service revival meetings. I'll tell you one reason I did it. It helps me. It forces me to get down on my knees a little bit longer during the day. And I'm encouraging us, we need to spend more and much time with God in prayer. God's power, now listen to me, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think you don't need him today, there's going to come something in your life along the way where you realize that you need the power of God on your life. And the way you get it is beg God for it. Stay right with God. Be in the prayer closet. Number two, prayer is important. Number three, God is still saving sinners. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Throughout this week, there were several people who responded to the gospel, and they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I believe there were three, if I remember right, three out of the seven total services that someone made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. You know what this means? This means that God is still saving people around the world. Praise his name tonight. His name alone is worthy to be praised. Several of these, if not all of these, were invited to our services by our people. Now, this should encourage us not to give up on somebody, but keep on inviting, keep on trying to reach them, because the gospel's still powerful. And when they hear the word of God, many of them may and will respond to it. Number three, God is still saving sinners. Aren't you glad of that? By the way, if he was done with that, we wouldn't be here any longer. The rapture would take place. When the last saint is saved, we're gone, my friends. And I'm going to tell you something, it'd be okay if it happened tonight. I've been thinking about heaven, been thinking about seeing Jesus, thinking about his power and what he must look like. And I'm going to tell you something, it's never entered our minds what we're going to see some glorious day. Number three, God's still saving sinners. Number four, now I told you I was going to go fast. You're glad, aren't you? Number four, God is still calling people to the ministry. He's still calling people to the ministry. The Bible says back in the book of 1 John, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 17, the Word of God says this. It says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, one of the services this past week, there were a couple of teenage girls who came forward in that during the invitation time to surrender their lives to serve the Lord in full-time ministry. And let me say this to you. Every Christian is called to full-time service. Every one of us is called to full-time service, folks. But what I mean by this right here, called to the ministry, is that God is still calling people to give their life to the gospel ministry. No matter what the Lord calls you to do, it's great. No matter what it is. But if he calls you to serve him in some full-time ministry like men preaching, men preaching. Somebody say amen right there. Praise God. Ladies, you can preach all you want to your husband, but not in the pulpit. That's not biblical. And I'm telling you, maybe God's calling a young man to preach. Hey, I'm praying for some young men in this church to be called in the ministry. By the way, it's not being pastor called, it's not being daddy called, mama called, dog called, or anything else. It's when God calls you to preach. And I'm going to tell you something, young men, older men, if God calls you to preach, that's the highest calling that a man could ever receive. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be a preacher than anything in this world. Now, you say, why? Because I get to tell people what to do. No, I'm kidding with you. Let me tell you why. Because there's no higher calling than to spend the rest of my day studying that blessed book and getting up on Sundays and Wednesdays and special meetings wherever, going to India in January. My mom's scared to death. That's okay, but I'm going to India in January. Going to be preaching to somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 Hindus every single night. You say, Jody, you excited? I'm scared to death. At the same time, I'm excited about it because we're going to preach the gospel to them and hopefully see a large harvest of souls come to Jesus Christ. Now, there's no higher calling than being called to preach. There's no higher calling, ladies, than to be called to marry a preacher. Now, you say, Jody, what's that mean? That means my wife is extremely blessed and all this. I'm kidding with you, folks. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying this. God is still calling people into the ministry. Now, it is my contention that there are many more, maybe, in this church. I didn't say positively. I'm just talking about in general, all over the place. There are many more, maybe, even in this church, that God is calling, and they've yet to say yes. That's why there's 4+ billion people on planet Earth who's never heard the name Jesus. That's why people are dying without the Lord around the world. It's because God is calling people. He's calling them. But many of them are saying no. No. And I'm going to challenge you with something. If God calls you into the ministry, get in it lock, stock, and barrel. What a great way to spend your life. Then number 5. The suffering of Christ should motivate us. The suffering of Christ should motivate us. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, where the Apostle Paul talks about the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have never in my life that I remember heard any preacher describe the crucifixion like Dr. Comfort did that one night here. I have never in my life heard it described like that. And I'm going to tell you something. If you weren't here to hear that, you need to go get that message. And you need to listen to it. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you can sit and listen to what I'm talking about, how the Lord suffered for us, and it not affect you, something's wrong somewhere. There was a service this past week in which he began to go into detail about how the lovely Lord Jesus suffered and died for the sins of the world. As he gave those details, the Lord was using him to paint a picture in our minds of what he went through for us. The way they came and hit his face one after another, after another, after another. How they ripped his back open with the cat of nine tails. They platted a crown of thorns on his brow and twisted his beard out by the roots and drove spikes through his hands and spikes through his feet. It's so indescribable, and yet we saw just a glimpse of it. Just a glimpse of it that evening. You know what that is? That's a motivation. That's a constraint. Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us. It's arrested us. We can't get away from it. You know what's a sick thought? Is that there's so many Christians who Jesus has died for them and he saved their soul, and yet they're Sunday morning Christians. They're not here during revival. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They don't tell somebody about the Lord. How that must break the heart of Jesus Christ. Listen, you may tell you why you ought to get busy for God. You may tell you why you ought to get up and read your Bible. Because he suffered for you. Let me tell you why you ought to pack your pockets full of gospel tracts and give them out, even when you're scared to do so, because he suffered for you. Let me tell you why you ought to live a godly life. Let me tell you why you ought to love your wives, men. Let me tell you why your marriage ought to be where it ought to be, because he suffered for you. And the only reason you have a possibility to live this life is because Jesus Christ has set you free. And I'm telling you, we learned last week, and I trust it's going to live on. I'm just giving you revival and review here. Just some things the Lord brought out last week through the preaching, faithful preaching of His Word. The suffering of Christ should motivate us. It should keep us going. You show me a Christian who stopped on God, I'll show you a Christian who has lost sight of Calvary. There's no doubt about it. You cannot have what He has done for you in your mind and be lackadaisical in your Christian life. Now, you know around America and around the world, I hope not here, but around America and around the world, there is a sense of just lukewarmness everywhere. The stronghold of complacency. You know what the problem is with complacency? We've lost sight of the cross. Because when you see what He's done for you, it'll motivate you to get up and do something for Him. Amen. That's number five. Number six. This is just revival and review. The tribulation period is going to be terrible. Now, on Thursday night, Dr. Comfort preached on history's greatest imitator. He was preaching on the Antichrist. Now, in this message, he brought out how different thoughts about the tribulation period were falling right in place. All I want to say here, because he did such a wonderful job with it, and how much information did he give us that night? I mean, I believe smoke was coming out of my ears, you know? But what I want to say here, just to kind of summarize it, all I want to say is this: the tribulation period is going to be horrific and terrible. It's a time that you don't want to be a part of it. The only way to guarantee not being present is be saved. If you're saved, praise God, you're not going through the tribulation. You say, Jody, prove it. I've said this before, and there's many points to prove it, but I'll give this to you again just in case you weren't here and I did it before. One of the strongest proofs that we're not going through the tribulation is that it is the time of God's wrath being poured on the earth. You can study this later. It's the time of God's wrath poured out on the inhabitants of the earth. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ has already had the wrath of God poured out on Him. And if you're saved, He lives in you. You're in Him. And if you're in Christ, that means He's in you and you're in the world right now. Am I right or wrong? Which means that if God's children, the body of Christ, that's one of our names. We're called the bride of Christ. We're called the branch. Listen to me. We're also called the body of Christ. And the wrath of God poured out on the body of Christ on Calvary. And yet if He leaves the body of Christ on the earth during the tribulation, then the body of Christ is going through the wrath of God again. Can I say something to you? It'll never go through the wrath of God again. Never. You know what this means? This means that we're going up before the Antichrist comes on the scene. Somebody say glory right there. You know what that means? That means when all hell breaks loose down here, excuse me, we're going to be with Jesus, beholding His wondrous face. And I'm saying this tonight because it is possible in a crowd this size, somebody may be listening to me right now, that in your heart, if Jesus Christ raptured the church right now, you do not know that you'd be called out. If that is you, God bless your heart. Tonight, today is the day of salvation. You don't want to be here for the tribulation. And I'm encouraging you, don't be left behind. And remember what he said. I'm in total agreement with it because the same thing I preach, because it's biblical. You are in this service tonight. You know what it takes to be saved. If you're left behind, it's over. You're not going to have an opportunity to be saved in the tribulation. There will be many saved during the tribulation, but not anybody who's heard the gospel. Not one. Not one. So I encourage you, make that decision tonight. Number seven, commitment to be a witness is a wonderful thing. Commitment to be a witness is a wonderful thing. You know, one of the most encouraging things to me, but by the way, you can look up later Psalm 126:6. One of the most encouraging things to me about the entire week of meetings, to me as a pastor, was how many raised their hands saying they had a desire to win one person to Christ this year. Along with that, many raised their hand later on in another meeting saying that they were going to share the gospel with a person that they're concerned about in the next 10 days. Now, as pastor of this great church, these things were greatly encouraging to me. the Lord spoke to me about helping you do this and keeping this command, this commitment. If you raise your hand saying that I have a desire to lead somebody to Christ this year, God spoke to me and said, a large responsibility on you, sir. We got to make sure you're trained. We got to make sure that you know what you're doing. But can I say something to you? What I just said, don't let it keep you from going out and telling somebody about Jesus. Somebody has the mistaken idea that if I don't know how to cross every T and dot every I, and if I don't know the hand verbatim, and if I can't quote scripture, I listen, I've got to wait till I'll be able to do that. No. No. If you're saved, you're qualified. And all you've got to do is go tell them what Jesus has done for you. And I'm telling you tonight that this commitment to be a witness is a wonderful thing. And I want to help you with it. In other words, I want to keep you accountable. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to be calling you on the phone, hey, have you led somebody to Christ yet? No. What this simply means is I'm going to just occasionally remind you about your decision. Occasionally remind you that you made that decision to reproduce yourself. Now, along with this, I want you to stay in the prayer closet, begging God for His power and His help in trying to lead others to Him. And once you see someone saved through your witnessing, don't stop there, folks. Try to get them in this church and learning the things of God so they can in turn go out and win others to Christ. And I'm encouraging you, if you made that decision, don't ever forget it. Write it in the fly leaf of your Bible and say, God, I want to commit myself to try to win one person this year. Can I help you with something, folks? Listen, please. If every one of us would reproduce ourselves one time, we'd have double the number here tonight. Now you say, Jody, that's simple. I know it is, but it's profound, isn't it? And what I'm saying to you, it's not just the pastor's duty, it's yours. It's every child of God's duty to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. And if you will do it and I will do it, we will help reach a lost and dying world in our area. And I'm encouraging you, don't forget that decision. Don't forget it. And we're going to help you with this. Occasionally, I offer soul-winning seminars. If you need some more training, don't wait until that seminar. Get out and get busy for God. But whenever we offer one, you can come and sharpen your axe a little bit, go right back out and put it back into practice. We're going to help you with this. Number 8, Psalm 66:16. I've already read it. It was our text for tonight. Here's number 8. Learn to use your own personal testimony. Learn to use your own personal testimony. Now, Friday night, we heard Dr. Comfort's own testimony concerning his salvation. It's something that is personal to him. And listen to me, please. Nobody can refute his story. They can try to refute the Bible. They can try to refute his messages. But they cannot refute his story. You can't do it. It's his story. He knows it's true. You know, in the same way, every Christian has a story to tell. You have a testimony. And I want to encourage you, there's 3 things to your testimony. Your life before Christ, how you came to know Christ as your Savior, and your life after receiving Christ as your Savior. Now, if you go back to Friday night, we heard all 3 of those points in Dr. Comfort's message. His life before Christ, his mother holding him out the window. Growing up smoking half-smoked cigarettes and all these different kind of things. His brother stealing just to feed him. That was his life before Christ. Then he told how his brother set him down and shared with him how Jesus loved him and wanted to save him. He was sharing there how he came to know the Lord. Then he began to share about how life has been good to him since. That's your testimony. And can I say something to you? I want to give you some ways to help you learn your testimony. Get in front of a mirror. And talk to yourself. Now don't let anybody see you do this now, but get in front of the mirror and talk to yourself. Now in this, what it does, it gives you the impression that you're looking at somebody, talking to them. By the way, if you can witness to yourself, you can witness to anybody. And what I'm saying, get in front of a mirror and rehearse your life before Christ, how you came to know the Lord as your Savior, and what your life is now that you've been saved. By the way, which one of those 3 points do you think is most important for somebody to hear? It's how you came to know the Lord. So you need to dwell there. By the way, listen, be very careful when you share your story. Oh, I was down on my knees and there was a shaking in the house, and oh, I was bawling like a baby and God saved me. Don't share your testimony like that. Let me tell you why. Because a lost person doesn't understand things, folks. And they'll think if their house doesn't rattle and they're not crying like a baby and they don't hear audible voices, that they didn't get saved. Now, I'm joking here. Nobody heard audible voices when you got saved. Amen. We all got saved the same way. I'm talking about it was Jesus Christ shed blood. If they need to know they're sinners, that's your life before. You got to be wise with how much in detail you go into. Don't give the devil glory on those kind of things unless it's appropriate with who you're dealing with. You see what I'm saying? And then you come and tell them how you came to know the Lord as your Savior, that somebody took a Bible, shared with you how Jesus Christ died for you, and how they shared with you that if you would repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, that He would save you. And since you made that decision, you have the peace that passeth all understanding. And you were going to hell, but now you're going to heaven. Learn to use your testimony. Learn to use it. By the way, you'll never learn to use it until you use it. Keep using it. Number two, under this, I'm trying to share with you some ways to learn it. Get in front of the mirror. Number two, write it out. Write out your testimony. I'll be honest with you, what I've had a burden for this church for a while, and it just occasionally it pops up when I hear somebody's testimony, how they came to know the Lord as their Savior. You know what I'd like to encourage you to do? This will be a blessing. I'd like to encourage every one of you to write out your testimony, how you got saved. Type it out, write it out, make me a copy of it, and let me have it. You know what I'd like to do? Make a notebook about how people came to know the Lord as their Savior. Wouldn't that be a blessing? That would be great. Now I'm encouraging you, write your testimony out, practice it, learn to use your testimony. When you think about his story, that's all he was telling you, folks. He was telling you his life before Christ, how he came to know the Lord, his life since. And I'm encouraging you, learn to use your testimony. Number nine, people need the Lord. And by the way, this is one of those messages that you're not going to go home and remember every point. I know that, because I'm trying to summarize seven sermons. And I'm just trying to just tap these things on the head. People need the Lord. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. One of the most powerful stories he told during the week was the story when he went to the Philippines. He told a story about a man named Dan Cruz, who was a millionaire, who was ready to commit suicide, if you remember the story. And he called the missionary and asked the missionary to come talk to him and said if anybody else came but him, he was going to kill himself. He went, had the privilege of leading that man to the Lord, and in 1 week's time, Dan Cruz led 100 laborers to Christ. He had a lot of money, so he set up a meeting in a place called Sabbatanon. And they didn't know what to expect in this meeting. However, when Dr. Comfort and the others got there, the people came out in great numbers to hear the gospel message. And if you remember right, he told a story about two men at Sabbatanon. One of them was 74 years old. The other one was 82. Both of those men, after he preached, got saved. And they came to him. Actually, he went to them. And they put their arms around him. And he said, and I quote, "These men said, we're old men. Thank God we have peace in our hearts." And he said, as a 74 and an 82-year-old man, they said, "This is the very first time we heard that Christ died for our sins." If you remember this story, after the meeting was finished, they were walking back to the boat, and Dr. Comfort said that they were expecting the crowd, you know, just to go home. But as they got in the boat and they were going off, the crowd came to the waters and they were calling out something. You remember Dr. Comfort telling this. And he asked the missionary, "What are they saying?" And they were screaming out, "Come back! Come back!" You know what that tells me? There's people around this globe that need the Lord. And they're open to the gospel. What are you doing about it? "Well, I'm giving a faith promise." Praise God, don't stop that. What are you doing about the rest of the world? What are you doing? I know it's a large burden to carry, but I'm carrying a burden in my heart that this church can help evangelize the world. And it's my responsibility to try to see that the world hears the gospel. You say, Jody, that's a heavy burden. You got it. But I'm carrying it. You know what that does? It calls you to think outside the box, folks. It calls you to have a John Sevier Center meeting on Sunday afternoon. It calls you to launch all these different targeted groups that were waiting on leadership to get started. It calls you to try to go out to East Tennessee State and get something started on that campus. It calls you to put a button on the website so when you run into a foreigner, you can send them to the website and they hear the gospel in their language. It calls you to try to set goals for Faith Promise missionaries. It calls you to get on a plane and go halfway around the world and preach the gospel to people. We need to come out of our shell and realize that people need Jesus Christ. We've got one life to spend. Let us spend it right. Number 10, God is to be top priority. God is to be top priority. Matthew 6:33, Mark 12:30. Not going to read it for time's sake, but you can write it down. You know, there were so many of you who sacrificed last week to be in attendance during this revival meeting. Let me simply say to you, thank you. Thank you for putting the Lord top priority. Now, I do realize that there were those who would have been here if they could have been. I'm well aware of that. So if you would have been here, but you just simply couldn't have, work, sick, God knows all about that. But I want to say something to you. A good test to ask yourself would be this. Would Jesus Christ have stayed away for the same reason? Sobering question, isn't it? Another question would be this. Does Jesus Christ agree with the reason you stayed away? Now, you say, Jody, you're rebuking me? I'm not trying to do that, but if that's what the Lord is using, then let him use it. It is time we put God at the top of the list and not halfway in the middle and not even second. Dr. Sexton puts it this way. He's to be on a list all by himself. He's not to be the first of many. He's to be the one and only. There shouldn't be anything on the list with him. You know what is sickening to God? I'm just talking in general terms, around America, around the world, is when his children deprioritize him. Well, I'll go if. Well, I'll be faithful if. Wait a minute. The Masters is on today. Golf is on. I'm going to watch that. And I wonder, is God pleased with that? By the way, you know I love you, don't you? Do you know I love you? Would you raise your hand? Yes, I hope you do. I hate it when a pastor has to do this, but can I say something to you? Make God your priority. God will bless you for it. No doubt about it. And if you did, you know that. And I salute you. God will bless you. Amen or not. Then let me give you an 11th thing. I only had 10, and then right before the service, God gave me an 11th. And that is, God's presence makes all the difference. 2 Corinthians 3:17, James 4:8. You know, when God shows up, that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? And you know, I want to challenge our church tonight to get on our face and make the hymn that we sing a prayer. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Don't you love it when the Lord shows up? And let me say this and I'm closing. That doesn't mean you're closing, okay? Let me say this. The reason I press and press and press and press and press for church attendance. By the way, what a great crowd. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And the reason I press and press and press and press and press, it's not so an evangelist will look and say, great crowd tonight, great crowd. No, you know why we press? Because that meeting has the potential of God showing up in it. And if he does, I want you to experience it. Amen or not. You've got to be here. And many of you were. Praise God for that. God bless you.
By the way, I don't have anybody in mind when I'm talking about those who didn't come. I don't. God knows my heart. I don't have anybody in mind. Nobody. So I hope I've not offended somebody. I'm not trying to do that. God knows my heart. I want you to be faithful so you can have God's full blessing on your life and ministry. That's what you want too, I hope, isn't it? May the Lord help us, right? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, help us tonight. Help us as we have this revival in review, as we're simply talking about things and saying things and just reminding folks about things. Help us, Lord, to be reminded about what you've spoken to us about. May the will of God be done. Please help us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I wonder tonight, are you in the family of God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been saved? I'm asking, do you know you are born again? Do you know that you're going to heaven when you die? If you don't know that, I encourage you tonight to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come forward and let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. Or maybe tonight, maybe as I'm going back over this revival in review, maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe speaking to you about the power of His Word, or how prayer is important, or how He's still saving sinners and you need to stick with it with somebody that you're praying for. Or how He's calling people in the ministry. Maybe you feel called into the ministry tonight. I don't know. You say, Jody, this is what God wants. It's what I want. Maybe the suffering of Christ is motivating you. Maybe the tribulation period has you scared and you say, Jody, I need to come and make sure I'm saved. Maybe you made a commitment to be a witness and win somebody to Christ, or maybe you want to learn to use your personal testimony, or maybe as we talked about people needing the Lord, God passed by your heart, or maybe you need to put God top priority in your life, or maybe you need to beg God for His presence in your life. Let me ask this. Have you say, Jody, I made some kind of a decision during the revival. I made some kind of decision during the revival. Would you raise your hand? You made some kind of decision during the revival. Wonderful. Now, if you raise your hand, you can lower it, but here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to come forward if you can, and I want you to seal it. And I want you to ask God to keep it before you, and don't ever forget it. Let's all stand together, shall we? Father, help those who need to respond for salvation to respond. Help those who've already made decisions to come forward and seal it. Help those who need to come forward for something that they've heard tonight. Help them to come, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, come on. Come on now as he sings.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Playing through. If you're standing, you can look this way. Folks are praying. I want them to take their time. I'd like for Bobby to come on up here if he wouldn't mind to do that, and we'll get ready for our brief business meeting. I'm encouraged with how the Lord met with us last week, and I'm encouraged with the great attendance. We had a great attendance all week long. God bless you. And I'm encouraging all of us that whenever the doors of the house are open, if you can possibly be here, you be here, because God wants to speak to you. You understand my motive in that, don't you? Do you understand that? Would you say amen if you understand that? No doubt about that. And I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to encourage you. May the Lord guide. Let's sing that first verse one more time, Brother Gary.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do
may be seated just a moment. We're just about through. I'm going to call the church into session. We've got